thankful. God, we are thankful for our sins. God, we glorify your name. We praise your goodness. We praise who you are. You are a good God. And you deserve all adoration, glory, and praise. God, without you, we are nothing. And God, we thank you. We thank you that you even want to know us, that you want a relationship with us. God, we pray that you would just impact our hearts today. God, prepare our hearts. Father, prepare our minds so that we can just continue to press into you and your goodness. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. So, fear not is what we're going to be talking about today. So, I'll tell you a little story first. I said we went to the lake on Thursday, right? And if you're friends with me on Facebook, you may have seen what I did on Tuesday. So, I went up with my father-in-law. For those of you that aren't privy, that aren't on Facebook with me, get on Facebook with me so you can see my stupidity sometimes. So, we decided we were going to be lumberjacks. And I had three fairly large trees. One was dead. The other one was kind of connected at the bottom. And I'm thinking, if this one's dead, this one's going to die very soon. And where we wanted to build our gazebo, if things worked out right, I should be able to follow these trees right where that gazebo is going to be lying. So I moved my fire pit. We moved the picnic table. And I should also mention about a foot away, I have a shed with, don't laugh, but a nice little 52-inch LCD TV there so we can watch the football game around the campfire and movies and stuff like that. It's pretty fun. Our neighbors all want it if we ever sold it, so it's a neat idea. But so if this other tree fell the wrong way too, it would fall on this thing and we'd have no more TV outside or fire because it would also knock down all my firewood that's stacked so pretty in my shed. So we start cutting the first one, and my father-in-law gets in, and he cuts the nice little notch that we think we're supposed to do that we've watched on YouTube how many times to cut it, and then you cut from the backside, and it should fall the way that your notch is, right? That's what they tell us. Well, this thing fell the complete opposite way. Straight. My neighbors have this beautiful lamp from those Costco lamps, you know what I mean, with the three heads? Fell straight towards that. And I could feel my heart stop beating, and I'm just like watching this thing in slow motion. And it's like, you remember how the old, for those guys that had VCRs, when you could hit slow and it would just slowly fall. That's what this was like, and there's nothing you can do. And I'm just like, oh my, I'm buying a new light. What is he going to say? He's going to say, what are you doing, you idiot? And at that point, I had a little bit of fear going on with me. Now, I also prayed. I think that thing must have taken about 15 minutes to fall because I prayed really hard. And I had branches fall on each side of this light, just perfect, and not touch the light. I kid you not, there's branches all around it. It just was the most perfect. I was like, yeah, we knew what we were doing the whole time. And then my father was like, maybe we should just wait. Maybe we should leave the other ones till our neighbor's name up there is Dell. Till Dell has his grapple on his bobcat because he said he was going to come do it to help with this weekend. Maybe he'll help you this weekend. And I was like, I don't want to do it this weekend because I want to build the gazebo. I'll cut it, this one. So we cut the notch, and it just fell beautifully, right exactly where we wanted it. And then we went back to the one that was right beside the dead one, which is also about 4 feet from our trailer, Stacey, you think? About 4 feet from our trailer. And it was kind of leaning towards Dell's trailer, though. So we start notching it. And by time we notch it a little bit, I'm like, this might be a bad idea. Because that's kind of leaning that way. Trailer's a little more expensive to replace than a light. And we had a little bit of fear, and then redneck ingenuity took over. And we wrapped a ratchet strap around the tree as high as we could that we were going to cut. And then put four of them together, connected the hooks, and ratcheted to the tree that we just fell, the big one. And ratcheted it tight, and then we cut a bigger notch, and ratcheted it tight till it started leaning the way we wanted. And then we cut the back, and it was just a thing of beauty. Like, you think we could have been on Timber Kings or something. It was awesome. But that's not the type of fear we're going to talk about today. I had that, you know, that feeling, the butterfly feeling, as that first one fell. That was just awful, awful. But this fear is fear of what God is asking us to do sometimes. Fear of what God is asking me to do. You, for you, it's fear of what God is asking you to do. See, sometimes we have fear because of what people are going to think of us. Maybe we have a fear of what God thinks of us. But we read in Scripture where it says, what? Does it say to have fear? Or it says, fear not. Fear not. We all have that guy, don't we? That says, hey, I need you to do this for me. And you're just like, I can't do that. That is out of my comfort zone. That is like a little too far for me. Or you have that guy that I always ask you every time you see him, hey, Lyle, can you help me with this? Like every time I see Pastor Lyle used to do that to me, Lyle Berg. Hey, Dave, can you help me with this? But every time I see Lyle or somebody, I'm like, hey, can you help me? That's sort of maybe how you feel. Or maybe you see the guy walking down the street, down Main Street, and you see him and you're like, oh boy, there he is. He's going to ask me to help him with something and I don't want to do this. How can I avoid this? Oh, I'm going to cross the street and go get Chinese food. Right? Or I got to check the mail. Got to avoid that. Take a different route. I don't know you, but I'm just going to talk to you anyways. And trying to avoid the conversation, turn your back. Sometimes we treat God that way too, right? Like God starts impressing something on our heart and we're like, oh boy, where is this going to go? Is this sending me to Africa? Please let it not be tuck, tuck, tuck. It's pretty cold up there. Please let it not be none of it in the middle of December. Maybe God's impressed on you to give up something. Give up a pleasure or something that you enjoy. Maybe it's your boat to a friend or a bike to a buddy that's always wanted a motorcycle. And you're like, well, I got this motorcycle. God's telling me to give it to him, so I'm just going to give it to him. Maybe when you were younger, maybe some of the ladies felt that this is the guy that God wants me to marry, but he's kind of ugly. Look at him. So Stacy said, really? This guy? I could do way better. But God. No, she didn't say that. She's like, thank you. Thank you, God. Look at how handsome. Look at that full head of hair. See, people say, and maybe you've heard this, that fear is the opposite of faith. Have you ever heard that? Fear is the opposite of faith. Or fear is the absence of faith. Have you heard that one too? I think I used to believe that a little bit. But I'm going to argue with you today that it's actually, fear is actually faith. And you're like, what? And fear is faith in the what ifs. What if I lose my job? What if the economy fails? What if my spouse dies? What if I get sick with cancer? What if they get sick with cancer? What if my current plan falls apart? What if Lyle says to me, Dave, we need to talk. Your messages are a little boring. You're gone. Dave, you need to clap and sing. I noticed you're not doing that. Just kidding, Lyle. I know when I was younger, I was like, what if I never get married? I'm getting old. I'm 19 years old and I'm still not married. God, like, please tell me you've not called me to this. Of all things, not this. I will go to none of it in January, but not this. You know what I mean? Or maybe maybe boys and girls, men and women, were like, what if I married a jerk? And what if my kids look like that jerk and then I got to think about that? But you know what? God's in control. Because he says, fear not. I know sometimes when Stacy's running late, because sometimes she does happen to run late. I know it might be surprising. And Stacy's 10 minutes late. And I'm like, where is she? She should have been here 10 minutes ago. And then 5 more minutes pass, and it's like, she's 15 minutes late. Like, she was driving on the highway. What if somebody hit her? Oh my goodness. What if she had a car accident and she died? Like, do I have to do her funeral? How can I go on with this? Oh boy. I can't raise 5 kids on my own. My wife is dead. Who else is going to do her funeral? This sucks. I have nobody to do her funeral. Wait a sec. Who's going to marry a guy with 5 kids? Because I can't be alone. All this over her being 10, 15, 20 minutes late. You go down this path. Fear just takes you down this path of irrational thought, doesn't it? I find that it does. For me especially. It might sound stupid, but those are some of the thoughts that go through your head. Well, through my head. I'm sure you guys don't think of Stacy's 10 minutes late. Where is she? Who's going to marry Dave now? He married way up on that one, right? But in 2 Timothy 1-7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and of love and of sound mind. So today, I want to talk to you about the fear of what God might be asking us to do. Nothing to do with my stories, but they were fun. And we're going to look at what happened when an angel appears to this teenage girl named Mary. Mary. Wow, this should be Christmas, right? It's a Christmas story. Well, at Rosetown Community Church, it's Christmas in July right now. The brick had it, so why can't we? Why are we afraid of God's plans? Is it because we think we know more than God? Is it because, what? Maybe they don't match our plans that we've laid out and we've been planning. Like, I've been laying this out in my head since I was 12. I was going to move here. And then I was going to get drafted to the Riders, but I was going to just kind of keep that on the back burner because I got big things. I'm actually going to play for the Washington Redskins. That's my plan. I'm going to go to college in the States. It's going to be good. And no, God knows the plans he has for us, right? Maybe we don't like God's plans because maybe we think our plans are more fun. Or our plans are just better than God's plans. That makes sense, right? Our plans have to be better than God's plans. Well, God knows the plans he has for us. Do we trust his plans? If the answer is yes, then why are we afraid of God's plans sometimes? I think we think that God's plans, God's interruptions, as some of us might call them, are often inconvenient. They're just at the wrong time. They're not at the right time, right? God's interruptions are often inconvenient. Oh, you finally got it up there. That's great. But in Luke 1:26-29, we read, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. We got a very polite angel in Gabriel. "The Lord is with you," don't we? Very polite. Now, is she excited? And she's like, "Oh man, I've always wanted to see an angel. This is awesome. This is like fifth on my goals." Or was she freaking out a little bit because she's confused, says she was disturbed, and she's like, "Oh my goodness, what is going on here right now? Why are you here? What is happening?" See, what's happening with Mary right now? We know from history, she's what, 14 to 16 kind of age bracket, right? Roughly? So she's probably getting all excited about this wedding that's coming. If it's modern days, we got these brides-to-be and they're on Pinterest and they're checking out, how can I make my day just perfect? I've got these decorations and, oh, I got to show my mom this veil. Mom's going to love the tulle that I'm putting. I think it's called tulle, right? All that white stuff, the frilly stuff. All this tulle I'm going to put down. But she's searching Pinterest. She's got all these great ideas. I'm sure she's like would be like Stacy was in practicing signing her name, Stacy Misko. Yeah, that sounds nice, Stacy Misko, because you want to sign your checks right. Or when you remember when you had to sign your credit card slips, she wanted to make sure she got the right name on that. So you're practicing all that. Elaine, did you do that back in the day? When you're getting ready or doing all these things, just getting ready. Maybe she's brainstorming, okay, we're going to have two kids. Yeah. What do I think would be a good name? Like, she's just brainstorming. She's just thinking of what the could-be's could be. Could-be's could happen, I guess. And then, what happens? God interrupts. Maybe it seems a little inconvenient for Mary. Sometimes, like, when God interrupts for us, it feels like it could be a little inconvenient, doesn't it? Like, right now, God? Serious? Like, come on. Now, God? And what we call interruptions, God will call invitations. Our interruptions, we think we're on this path and it's going to be great, and God's inviting us to something awesome, something that we can't even imagine or fathom. He's inviting us to something higher, something of greater purpose, something better than what we could have ever imagined. What did God do with Moses? He interrupted his daily day out in the checking sheep and doing all the walks in the desert and just doing whatever he did with a burning bush. And God invited Moses to become the deliverer of God's people out of Egypt. With Jonah. Jonah's just out doing his swim in the sea, right? Doing some calisthenics out there, hanging out in the water. And he brought this big whale and swallowed him up, this big fish. And God invited him back to what he was supposed to be doing, which was preaching repentance to the people of Nineveh. In the New Testament, we have Saul. He's out there killing Christians, making quite a name for himself. And God interrupted what was happening with this bright light from heaven. And God invited Saul to become the author of most of the New Testament. He became an apostle to anyone who would listen to him about how good Jesus was. God interrupted plans with an invitation to something better. I think there are some of us who shake off God's invitations, calling them interruptions, calling them inconveniences, when God really wants to do something new and different in our lives. You don't know how it's going to play out, but if you're sensitive enough to listen to the interruptions where God is prompting you to a new invitation, God might take you somewhere new, someplace different, or do something special that you could never predict it on your own. We keep reading in Luke verse 30, chapter 1, verse 30, where it says, an angel of the Lord appears to this girl who has her life planned out and says, I've got something different for you. Sorry, I got all confused on my point. An angel of the Lord appears to this girl who has her life planned out and says, I've got something different for you. So what does the angel say in verse 30? That's where I really wanted to go. What does the angel say in verse 30? In the King James we read, it says, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. The New Living Translation puts it this way. Do not be afraid, Mary. The angel told her, for you have found favor with God. Okay, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. How many of you want favor with God? All of us. You know, it's like Mary is like, when she hears this, she's like, what? Did I win my wedding all expense paid? Am I going to be like on, say yes to the dress times a million? Like, how is this going, God? Like, what type of favor did I win here? Tell me you've seen Say Yes to the Dress. Lyle, you've watched it. By choice, probably. See, she found favor with God. He was inviting her to something unique, something special. We all want to be invited to something special because we want favor. We want the favor of God. And the second thing I read from that is God's purpose is often different than our plans. See, Mary had a plan. She had a plan. She was getting married to Joseph. She's practicing writing her name. She's dreaming about her kids. And now something different happens. Because we read in Luke 1, 31 to 33, it says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. So think about it. There's probably a moment in there where she was like blown away. She was stupefied with humility. She's like, oh my goodness. I've been chosen to be the mother of the Son of God. I'm going to give birth to the Son of God? There's my voice going high because how excited she was. And then it probably went to, what are they going to say about me? What is everybody going to say about me? What's Joseph going to think? Oh boy. Because to be pregnant out of wedlock, that was a sin that was punishable by death from stoning. And probably one of those thoughts that she has is, how am I going to tell Joseph? What's he going to say? Hey, Joey, how you doing? Want to sit down for a minute? So, yeah, an angel came to visit me the other day and told me I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Like, how does that conversation go? But God's purpose was way, way, way different than her plans. Just that the heavens are higher than the earth, so God's purposes are higher than our purposes. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God's purposes and plans are higher than ours? Do you believe that God's plans and purposes are greater than ours? Do you believe that God's plans and purposes exceed anything we could ever think about? So his plans are higher than our plans. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Because let me tell you, most of the things we think about are nowhere near as big as God can do. But we limit sometimes, don't we? Do we limit God? I think lots of times we do. See, I don't know how things are playing out in your life, but when God interrupts you with an invitation to something new, something else, you're going to discover that His purposes, His plans are different than your plans. And I don't know how it's going to happen, but are you willing to just follow with Him and trust Him? See, things can happen sometimes in our life where we have a little interruption, what seems like a little interruption. Maybe a change in job, maybe losing a job. Maybe you thought somebody you'd marry and you didn't marry them and you married somebody else. Maybe you got sick. But God has plans to bless you, plans to prosper you, and what? Not to harm you. See, God's plans and purposes are greater than ours. We've all agreed that. We know that His plans are to prosper us and not to harm us. We've just talked about that. God's plan is to give you a hope and a future. And He will. And every once in a while, He's going to move in with an interruption, which is really just an invitation to something greater. Are you willing to accept that invitation to something greater? Because from His perspective, that invitation is higher and different than what we could have ever imagined. In verse 34, Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." Not just impossible. God, this is absurd. It's crazy. It's like me saying, I haven't skated since Stacy and I were dating. But next year, I'm going to go and join an NHL team and win the Stanley Cup and be captain and be the lead scorer. It's impossible. It's absurd. Goodness, my blades won't be touching the ice. I'll be walking around on my ankles. I don't understand it. God, it just doesn't make sense. Maybe there's things in your life that you don't understand. Maybe there's things like, how will I pay the bills, God, if we do that? How am I going to heal from these wounds, God? How are we going to survive in this storm? There's all sorts of things, a house in your, maybe you've got going on in your life. How is this going to work out, God? How is this going to happen, God? God, it's impossible. It's not going to work. It doesn't make sense. It's inconceivable. But then if you keep reading Luke 1, 35, and we're going to also read 37, it says, oh, I missed a slide. Sorry. It says, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. And in verse 37, this is the big one, because this applies to our life, where it says, for nothing is impossible with God. But how is it going to work out? I don't have any money in the bank. God, how can I do that? How can I bless that? God, how can I step out into that ministry? I don't even like kids. For nothing is impossible with God. See, here's the thing. Can you change your spouse? Not physically. Can you say, I don't want to be married to you anymore. I'm going to be married to him. Can you change who they are as a person? Can you do that? But God can. God can change your spouse. Can you change your family members? Maybe that are just that pain in the neck, thorn in your side. Can you? Can you do anything to change them? No. But God can change them. Can you heal a loved one? No. But who can? God can. Can you save the unsaved? Can you bring somebody and say, okay, now you're saved? Only God can. Can you do anything on your own? Everything we do is because of God. Everything we have is because of God. When people say, I see no way, this will never happen, it just won't work. How is this going to work out? Tell me. You're crazy. It's not going to work. It's impossible. It's just how it's going to be. God, I can't do that. I can't go talk to that person. The last time they were around me, they punched me in the face. But you're telling me to go talk to them and tell them about Jesus? For nothing is impossible with God. I shared with you guys before, I have this vision of every seat in this church filled beyond capacity. I have this vision of multiple services. I have this vision of cars lined up. I don't know why, down the highway and up here. I can't get it out of my head. And I'm like, God, this is Rosetown. Serious. There's not even that many people here to have multiple services. And then Mel shares with me, like that week, I think it was, about how this church was in revival in the 40s, 30s and 40s, with what, 400 or 500 people coming every Sunday. Why? How big was Rosetown then? I'm not going to ask anybody here because I know none of you were around then. That's wisdom. What was it? Maybe 200, 300 people? Let's say 1,000. And you had half the town coming to church here. Guys, that vision that I feel that God has given me, that vision that I know that God has given me for this church to be filled beyond capacity with multiple services, with people lined up down the highways to get here, just to experience what God is doing here, not to hear the pastor speak, not to hear the music, not to do any of that, but to do it, to experience what God is doing. Because for nothing is impossible with God. I know it will happen. I don't know when, but I know it will happen. Because the angel said to us, for nothing is impossible with God. In case you didn't know, Gary, I'm not sure if you knew this, but the angel said, for nothing is impossible with God. Did you know that? Erla, do you have something that you've said? This is impossible. It's not going to happen. God, I don't know how this is going to work out. The angel's telling you, for nothing is impossible with God. So what is God asking you to do or to believe? Maybe it's helping in a ministry. Maybe it's going back to college. Maybe it's reaching out to someone. Maybe it's going to talk to that guy in Coffee Row or on the street as you're walking down the street or going down the street. Maybe it's trying to mend a broken or fractured relationship. Maybe it's restoring a friendship. Maybe it's just telling someone about Jesus and his goodness and who he is and what he did for you and what he's done for them already. What is God asking you to do or believe? See, there's something important here that we need to know and that we need to remember in our life as we go forward. You know what that is? Let me tell you, because it's in my notes, and even if you guessed, it was still doesn't go with my notes, maybe. But it's all about our response. So what is your response? What is your response when God asks you to do something? Are you going to say, it's impossible, God? I don't see how it's going to work. It's never going to happen, God. Like, you've heard that person talk, God. You know them. God, that situation's just, it's too much of a mountain. I can't overcome it. What is your response? See, because here's the thing, guys. I sound like I'm angry. I'm sorry. I'm not angry. I'm excited. Because here's the thing. The outcome of that whole situation, it's not on you. 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 The outcome is God's responsibility. The outcome is God's responsibility. You know what yours is? Obedience. Obedience is your responsibility. Obedience to take the next step, to take the next step, to take the next step to where God's guiding you. That's your responsibility. Let God deal with the outcome. You just be obedient to what he's called you to do. Be obedient to the little. Be obedient to the big. Just be obedient. And allow God to work out the outcome how he needs to work it out. But it's impossible. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. Right? For nothing is impossible with God. That's what we read in Luke. Do you believe that nothing is impossible with God? Nothing is impossible with God. So then let's take our responsibility. Let's deal with what we need to deal with and be obedient to him. I'd have to double check. I wasn't sure if I spelled it right. Let's be obedient to him. And let's allow him to shake out the outcome how he needs to shake it out. Let's leave the outcome to God. And let's just be obedient and trust him in each and every step. Because when we take on the outcome, when we take on the outcome, what happens? We get stressed. We get scared. It becomes our problem. We start worrying about it and we try figuring it out. How is this going to happen? Okay, well, if I do this, 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 and this, I think I can get to that end result that you told me to do, God. How many of us do that sometimes? We try planning for God. Okay, God, you told me, God, that the church is going to be full, and you told me that we're going to have multiple services, and God, you told me that there's going to be, okay, the cars line up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put a barricade up here, actually, and lay on the highway, and we're going to get people lined up with cars. That's part of it, okay. And then I've got that part of the dream and vision lined out. How many people in the door? Oh, you know what we're going to do? How we're going to get people coming through the doors on a Sunday? We're going to give everybody a bunch of iced tea that we've got barricaded off. Then they have to go to the bathrooms, and they might as well sit here because the crazy guy laying on the road isn't going to move. So now our seats are full. So we got the seats full now, and now we've got the cars lined up. Now the vision is complete. That's not our problem. I'm going to just be obedient and walk step by step with where God's leading us, and we're going to do it together, and we're going to let God take care of the outcome because that's his responsibility. What's ours? Obedience. And all that we can say when God leads us to something and we're obedient is all we can say is what Mary said in Luke 1. Verse 38, where she says, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you said about me come true. May everything you said about this place come true. May everything you said about any of us come true, God. We're just going to be obedient in the next step. We need to remember who I am. And whose I am. May everything you said about me come true, God. I am your servant. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you said about me come true. I'm going to be obedient in the next step. And God, you worry about the rest. You guide me to the next step if there's another step. God, you guide me to the next step if there's another step. I'm just going to trust you, God. You guide me to the next step. You guide me to the next step. I'm just going to keep being obedient in the next steps. God, you worry about the rest. I'm just going to be obedient in the next step. When we stop taking on that responsibility, The outcome's His. Just be obedient to the next step in all that we do, whether it's walking down the street and coming across somebody, whether it's inviting somebody to church, whether it's just telling somebody about Jesus, whether it's whatever Jesus, whatever God leads you to, just be obedient in that next step. But I talked to them like God told me, and they're not here. They're not here this Sunday. Like, what gives? God, you told me to invite them to church. Why aren't they here? I'm being obedient. Don't worry about that. That's not your problem. That's God's responsibility. You be obedient in the next step that He gives you. God just told you to tell them about God. He told you to tell them about church. He'll do the work in their heart. He'll give you another opportunity. Just be obedient in the what? In the next step. The next step. Be obedient in the next step. And leave the outcome to Him. Guys, would you pray with me? God, we thank You. And we trust You. And we honor You, God. God, we pray that You would just impress upon our heart, God, what the next step is that You have for us, God. For each and every one of us, God, You have a next step, Father. And I pray You would just impress upon us and that we would be obedient in that and that we would listen to what You have for us, God, and that we would listen to what You say, that You would guide our path, God, and that we would fear not. God, if it's a little scary or a lot scary, God, that we would put our focus and our trust on You. God, and that we would leave the outcome to You. It's not ours. So God, we thank You. God, we thank You for taking on that outcome. We thank You for impressing things on our heart and giving us opportunities to honor You. Opportunities to say that we are Your child. God, be with us. Love us, encourage us, and strengthen us. In Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Guys, have a great week. Be blessed. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. I guess not next week, the week after.